Saw a report online today. The article was The Decline of Christianity. Can you believe that by 2045, Christianity will be the minor religion in America? That's the projection based on the figures in this latest poll, I guess it's called. In 1990, 90% of those surveyed said they were Christian. In 2020, 64% said they were Christian. And this is the rise of the nuns. Not nuns in the Catholic Church. Those that respond religion, they check none. No affiliation. And in 2007, that percentage was 16% said they had no affiliation. In 2020, that rose to 29%. Almost a third of those surveyed said none. And there are statements now being made that God's church is broken. And, you know, just lots of negative things that are being said. You know what I think? I think you're giving to Christmas for Christ and sponsoring every missionary. Every missionary this year was sponsored. That means, praise God, that there are churches looking for pastors, and those missionaries could say, I'll come and preach to you. And I'm talking about churches, mainline denomination churches that are looking for pastors, because that's the other article that is appearing more and more. Burnout. Pastors quitting. Pastors giving up. And again, I'm talking about mainline pastors. So here comes the Pentecostal pastor saying, I'll preach in your pulpits, and those pastors who meet in storefronts or in libraries or in hotel lobbies or any of these other places, classrooms, hopefully will have the finance to be able to say, we can make a down payment on your building, and we'll meet the payments every month. And those doors, I believe, are opening. Praise God. And your prayers for revival across North America are, you know, that's a huge scope that we're praying for. But I believe God is working. I believe God's moving. Praise God. Continue praying. Continue believing. And continue your outreach right here. Right here. Amen. Because that's important. Praise God. We want to see the hand of the Lord at work. Continuing with the poll, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism is 6% of those responding in 2020. In fact, the minister's message that appears in the Friday paper, my article will be in tomorrow, there's a Buddhist who is going to write now, a Buddhist who is going to be sending the minister's message. Well, a Satanist prayed at a city council meeting. I don't think it was here. I read it some time ago. Maybe it was here. And I read the prayer. A lot of principles that you find in the scripture were included in that prayer. It's a joke in some ways. But we want to make the joke on Satan. Amen, and defeat him in the name of the Lord. I shouldn't have used the word joke, because it's not a joke. The decline of Christianity is not a joke. The prospects of 22 years from now, 23 years from now, it being a minor religion is ridiculous. Amen. In Canada, they're already saying that it's not a Christian nation because of the increase of other religions, world religions. I praise God. I thank the Lord for the power of his name. Yes. Amen. Questions come, of course, when those kinds of statistics are brought forth. Really? Who did they survey? They didn't talk to me. Because we would definitely know that we are strong in believing in Jesus Christ, which makes us Christians. But I want to turn to 1 Timothy 1 and 4 for a short while here tonight. Looking forward to our fellowship. Again, thank you, ladies, for your contributions of wonderful soup and bread and crackers and coffee and whatever we have for dessert and so on. You overdo it, but we enjoy it. 1 Timothy 1 and 4, Paul gives this advice, and it's interesting that he starts right out with it in his letter to Timothy. It's something that he addresses immediately in the opening of his letter. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Now, there's a large group that does this genealogy thing. But this is in reference to the Hebrews who want to rattle their chain of heritage all the way back to Abraham, you know. That's okay. That's all right. Because you read the genealogies in Matthew, and there's some rascals that are included in there. And there's some amazing inclusions, you know, Rahab and Ruth and so on. Thank God the Lord included us in his plan of salvation. Thank the Lord. But the pride that they had in those genealogies, I think, is what Paul is referring to here. Which minister questions? That's kind of an odd combination of words there. Minister questions. The New King James says, brings disputes. And that's what Paul is referring to. Rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. In other words, let's look at godly edifying in faith. That's what you do. Yes. Not this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Giving heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions. Well, everybody has questions. I have questions. You have questions. We wonder why, we wonder when, we wonder where, we wonder who, all of those kinds of things. And we bring them to the Lord. And I'm thankful that God has an answer. He may not answer immediately like that. Sometimes he does, praise God. Sometimes it's wait. Sometimes the answer is no. And we don't understand the no sometimes, but later on, farther along, we used to sing, we'll understand it. Praise God. Amen. And thank the Lord that he provides. All right, you can be seated. The Lord bless you. Did you ever hear about the man who was asked, why do you always answer a question with a question? And he answered, why not? Well, sometimes we need clarification. And it's okay to ask a question. It's okay to bring forth your statement, your question. Brother David Gray pastored a large church in the San Diego area. And he was known for, his building would comfortably seat 500. And he would build it beyond 500. And then he would determine where a neighborhood of believers were, and he'd select somebody to go and start a church there and say, whoever wants to go and help, you're welcome to go and help. And so a group of people would leave, they would start a church in that area of San Diego, and then he would build his congregation back up over 500 and do it again. There's three or four families from this area. You go and pastor them. Anybody else that wants to go to help, go and be a blessing. And they'd start another church. He did that over 20 times. And he wrote three books, Questions Pentecostals Ask. Anybody see those books? You ever see those? three of them. Pentecostals ask questions. And Brother Gray answered. Brother Gray's folks were missionaries in China, if I remember correctly. Very dedicated, very used of God, just incredible. But everybody has questions. We consult the scriptures, and I think it's a good thing. People ask Jesus, "What sayest thou?" I think that's a good question for us to ask. We want his will. We want him to direct our lives. We want him to be the one in charge and be able to respond. You know, the Bible talks about those who came to the Lord and they wanted to catch him in his words. They would ask questions, but it wasn't because they were sincere. It wasn't because they were trying to determine truth. They were trying to trip him up. Pretty amazing, huh, that they had. He's the miracle worker. He's the healer. He's the one who brings resurrections. And they probably had family members who were ministered to by the Lord. But yet they were trying to, as the scripture says, entangle him in his talk. Huh. That's pretty crazy. But they asked him about paying taxes one time. And is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar, you know? And the Lord asked for a coin. And somebody handed him the coin. And he said, "Whose image is this?" And they said, "Caesar's." And he gave a strong theological principle there when he said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." Now, why did he say that? Because you're made in God's image. So give yourself to God. The image of Caesar is on that coin. Go ahead and pay your tax. But you give yourself to the one who made you in his image. Praise God. And so he answered them. They marveled when they heard the answer. And then they wandered off. Instead of following him, they left. That's getting an answer to their question, but not being satisfied with it. And then the Sadducees, who don't even believe in a resurrection. Paul used that later on in when he was being persecuted and being vilified and resisted and opposed and so on. He realized that the crowd had Pharisees in it and had Sadducees in it. And he remembered they don't believe in the resurrection. So immediately he stated, "For the resurrection, am I called in question this day?" And you know what happened? Division immediately. The devil tries to bring division. That's one of his tools. That's one of his tricks. He tries to bring division among friends, among family, in marriages, in churches. It's sad when that happens in churches, but it does. It's crazy. But Paul used that, and it became a great defense. Ah, these Sadducees came to Jesus and then had a hypothetical situation. Because the law says a woman married doesn't have an heir. The man passes, the brother needs to marry, and so on. And they came up with this ridiculous scenario. She had seven husbands. They're all brothers. Whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Smart Alex. And the Lord answered him, "You don't know the power of God. You don't know the word of God." You know, he was straightening them out right from the beginning. And thank God he gave powerful answers and ministered to them. And they were astonished at his doctrine, the Bible says. Well, thank the Lord that there were those who were sincere in their questions. By the way, the Lord answered with a question too. I say, okay, you know, more or less he's thinking, "You've asked me two questions, and I've answered you. Now you answer me." And he asked him, "Whose son is Christ? David's or who?" And they began to think and consider in themselves, you know, that, Well, if we, if David calls him Lord, how can he be David's son? We can't tell. We don't know. And then the Lord let them know that, or they concluded in themselves that we better not ask him any more questions. We'll be embarrassed. Well, there's good questions too. John the Baptist was a straightforward preacher. I mean, right between the eyes type answers. And there were three groups of people who asked him, what shall we do? And the people as a group asked him that. The Lord said, share what you have, show compassion. Publicans, who were tax collectors, asked, what shall we do? John said, be honest. Don't collect more than you should. Soldiers were standing there, and they asked, what shall we do? John said, don't use violence or false accusations for your gain. Be content with your wages. You know, his theme was repentance. Repentance. Change. Ask God for forgiveness and change your lives. And thank God the Lord did that kind of work, and the power of God was a blessing in their lives. Now, how many paid attention to the fact that Jesus said, there cometh one after me who is mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You know, four times in the book of Acts, that reference is made to what John said and about his baptism. Four times in the book of Acts it is referenced. And so we recognize, oh boy, that was an important statement and an important direction. And thank God the Lord did fulfill that prophecy of John. He did pour out his Spirit. He did baptize them with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for that. The questions on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, they asked, what meaneth this? And Peter answered with a scripture, quoted from the Psalms. And he used a scriptural answer. And then they ask, what shall we do? You know, like the people who spoke to John the Baptist. Peter had an immediate answer. He didn't have to consult with the other 10. Huh, what shall we say? What do you think? No. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Maybe he waved his hand at the 120 who were standing there with him. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 3,000 believed that. 3,000 responded. Praise God. Amen. And Brother Mike, I think, has figured out those fountains that they used in Jerusalem. How long it took to baptize that 3,000. Just incredible. Stop and think about it. You know, the 28 that got baptized in Namibia, that must have taken all afternoon. And 26 of them getting the Holy Ghost. God interrupting. Praise God. That must have been amazing. But think of 3,000. Wow. I'm glad God has an answer. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful that we can find it as well. Let's skip all the way over to the Philippian jailer who got shook up. I mean, literally, he got shook up. And spiritually, he got shook up. Because he immediately came to Paul and Silas and said, what must I do to be saved? That's an important question. A very important question. There was a young man in Huna. He fished on one of the seine boats. The seine boat fleet was large back in those days. Boats from Seattle, Puget Sound area would come up, and they had a skipper and crews of at least five. And, oh, goodness, I can remember probably close to 50 boats being in town. So there's a lot of fishermen. And they would have a dance on Friday night, because the openings, the fishing openings were usually on Sunday, which was too bad. They needed to be in church. But they would go back out to the fishing grounds on Sunday, and if the opening lasted until Wednesday, they worked Sunday to Wednesday, just hard, worked hard. Then they came back to town and partied hard. It was crazy. But this young man wore a Jesus t-shirt. I can't remember what else was on his t-shirt. Remember him? He would go and visit the Bettridges and hang out with the pastor of the Presbyterian Church. But he made no bones about being a follower of Jesus, a believer in Jesus. And he was on the fishing boat, and they went up to Kodiak to fish, and he got an infection in his knee, got an injury in his knee somehow, and they brought him into Kodiak and sent him up to the hospital. I said, get a shot or something, as though it was that simple. Well, he ended up having to stay in the hospital. So part of his entertainment was to look in the phone book, find a church number, dial that number. That was back in the good old dial days, and ask, what must I do to be saved? These are churches that he's calling. And he chuckled when he got a woman, he assumed it was the pastor's wife, he chuckled when she stumbled all over herself trying to come up with an answer. He thought it was funny that churches couldn't answer him just right out what he had to do to be saved. Well, I'm glad Paul and Silas didn't hum and haw about what to do to be saved. Praise God. They took that man and his household and baptized them wee hours of the morning. Because at midnight was when that earthquake hit. Midnight was when they were singing praises to God. Midnight was when everybody's bonds were broken, because they were singing praises to the Lord and praying and calling on the name of God. Amen. Your worship and your praise is powerful. Your praise count for a lot in the kingdom of God. We sing about chains being broken. Believe me, it will happen. Amen. It has happened before. It will happen again. You keep going. You keep praising. You keep praying. You keep worshiping. Praise God. And somebody's going to come and ask, what must I do to be saved? Yes. Yes. Now, don't stumble around with your answer. Don't, you know, and don't, you know, practice your short answer. Mm-hmm. Concise, scriptural, direct. Because Peter said, be ready always to give an answer. Yes. For those that ask a reason of the hope within you with meekness and fear. Praise God. Not because you don't have a good answer, but because you're dealing with a soul that's eternal. And you want to be right on target. Praise God. So, be able to give that short, concise, scriptural answer. Then, if you sense they're ready for more, ask them for a Bible study. Praise God. You're ready to study the Bible? You want to know what else is there? Amen. Just be ready. Praise God. You know, I thought we'd practice here tonight. I thought I'd ask a question. And you would be able to give the answer. Thomas, what must I do to be saved? Or I would just leave it open. And whoever wanted to could answer, but be ready to be critiqued, because then I would ask the rest of us to contribute what was right about it and what could we improve about it. But I thought we'd be here all night long. We better not do that. But I want you to think about it now. What if somebody come and ask you, what's this about the Holy Ghost? Yes. Short answer, okay? Short scriptural powerful answer. And then, if they're ready for more, ask them for a Bible study. Praise God. Pentecost? What's Pentecostal? Short answer. But direct, divine, powerful. Amen. Don't get hung up. You know, the Jewish feast, but in the book of Acts, chapter 2, the Lord chose that day to pour out his Spirit. Because it's praise. And then you go on from there. Apostolic. Apostolic. How do you say it? What does it mean? Be ready. Give an answer. Praise God. And short again. What must I do to be saved? That's, all of us are the same. We can get caught off guard. We can get flustered. And we always think, oh, I should have said this. Oh, I should have said that. You know, we'll always do that. Don't worry about that. Just be ready to give an answer when someone asks you for the reason of hope that you have within you. Amen. Praise God. And be ready to answer why you act like you do, why you dress like you do, why you look like you do. Amen. Real simple to say, this is my commitment to the teaching of the Scriptures. You know, it's easier to say, this is what the church believes this, and so I got to do it. No, it's your commitment to believing. It better be your commitment, not just because I'm saying it. God bless you. Thank you for believing in me and obeying me, but it needs to be deeper than that. My commitment to what the Scriptures teach. Amen. And to be able to follow through with that. Okay, so let's get back to the Philippian jailer. Things shaken. Aftershocks. You think there were aftershocks? To just kind of emphasize the fact that God shook things up. Remember that November earthquake? This November, it'll be 2 years ago. 3 years ago, Sister Glover and I were sitting in the Anchorage airport in those great big windows. Those aftershocks hit, and those windows were waving. Ceiling tiles falling on the floor. Those aftershocks were strong. I wonder if the Philippian jailer felt those aftershocks and realized, I better do something. What must I do to be saved? He didn't postpone it when the apostles said, you know, let's go get baptized. He didn't say, it's late, the candles are burning down, we don't have time to study the Scripture. No, they shared with him the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. They gave him background for why it's important to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And he... The Bible says when he was baptized, the urgency, the emergency of taking care of that. The Bible says he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. A whole bunch of them baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And I believe they were filled with the Holy Ghost as well. Amen. Thank the Lord for that power. Now think about Paul and Silas. Being in stocks for that evening until midnight. Think about the pain in their backs from being beaten with rods. I don't think it was a little switch. I don't think it was a little branch. No, they purposely punished criminals with these rods. Whack. Made of bamboo, made of, I don't know what. But it hurt. It bruised. It brought blood. And a significant pain and injury. I'm sure questions could have come up. Why, God? Why? But to baptize the jailer and his family, I'm sure eased the pain. And I believe God supernaturally intervened and brought healing. Amen. Probably didn't close up the cuts and all of that, but it takes some effort to and some mobility to baptize somebody. And so Paul and Silas had that ability. I think God did something. I think God provided. God blessed. Praise God. Saul of Tarsus, that bright light knocking him down, the voice that he heard, and his question, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am." Now that really got his attention. As a Hebrew, that really spoke to him. I am Jesus. And then the next question, "What wilt thou have me to do?" I'm so glad that Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, had gumption or guts, intestinal fortitude, to be able to inquire, "Lord, me, what do you want me to do?" Praise God. And I like the way Ananias responded, even though he had questions, even though he was reluctant. I'm glad he stepped forth to obey the word of God. And Paul said he asked him. Paul, writing in Acts 22 later on, giving his testimony, he said, Ananias asked him, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." What are you waiting for? That Ethiopian in Acts 8 asked a question about baptism. "See, here's water. Take a look. Here's water right here. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" A lot of people need to ask themselves that. What's holding you back? What are you waiting for? Get the greatest name above every name applied to your life. Let your sins, your past, be taken care of. Step into the power of the name of Jesus Christ for salvation, for deliverance, for power over the enemy. Praise God. Peter asking the question, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" Amen. Those are good questions. And thank the Lord we can find the answers in the Word of God and know how powerful it is to see the Lord do a work, a powerful work that He can do for everybody. And we read these examples in Scripture. We hear about people being baptized up north. In Ambler, 3 people baptized. Praise God, and the power of God. Pray for brother Farmer when you are having your prayer time. He wants to do the work of airplane ministry and outreach, and he's still working at the mine. He comes home. He wants to be able to get into that airplane and get going. Amen. And make more converts, more believers. Praise God. We need to pray that God would keep health and anointing and power and blessing to be able to take that message somewhere else. Imagine the Apostle Paul would be able to charter a plane and say, "Hey, we need to go over to Cyprus. Those people over there need the Lord. Let's fly up to Italy. We need to go to Rome." That would be amazing, isn't it? Never mind. We've got that going on right here in our district. And we thank the Lord that there's that kind of work that God is doing and the power that He wants to display, the power that He wants to do. Praise God. And I'm thankful. So no matter what your question, we'll close here in a minute because we want to pray for answers. And no matter what the question, what direction for your life, what direction for your education, your career, your job, your marriage, your calling in the work of the Lord, for help, for healing, all of the questions that we may have. I'm thankful that the Lord can step in. And then do godly edifying in faith. That's what Paul advised Timothy. Do godly edifying in faith. And so That's where we want to move into when people have questions and be able to answer. And I'm thankful Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the song, but we need to be the messenger. Jesus is the answer. Praise God. And to move into that realm of understanding, God's power can come forth. God's work can make a difference. God's word can become alive. And his glory and his blessing coming forth as he is able to. Lots of questions. Lots of questions in our world today. Lots of people wondering what is going to be the outcome, what's going to be the direction, how is this going to turn out? Well, I don't know how things are going to turn out as far as, you know, end time things, but those are a lot of questions that people have. And even today, there was a reference to the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, that's from the book of Revelation. And it was in a cartoon about the weather. And the broadcaster on the TV station saying, "And now for the weather." And here's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You know, they're doing it as a joke, but that's a reference to Scripture. People are aware. And that's where you step in. Amen. And say, "You may have questions. I know someone who has answers." Praise God. And there's a lot of questions about pain, about suffering, about, you know, just things that are very difficult for us to be able to answer. You don't have to have every answer. You know, why does God allow suffering? Because a choice was made in the garden a long time ago. It was the wrong choice. And it's affecting us now. But we have a God who has the answers. Why does God allow this? Why does God do this? Why, you know, on and on. Well, sin is not God's fault. People have made that choice. Why are children hurting? Why are, people being afflicted and all that? Again, wrong choices. And you could help them make right choices. Amen. And thank God that we're able to believe what the Lord has provided and has ministered and has blessed. So lots of questions that we find in Scripture. I haven't touched on all of them here, but I think you get the point. And thank God that we're able to step forth with the answers that we know God has given us. Praise God. And we know he provides and he blesses. Let's stand tonight. And please come for prayer here. We want to pray God would help us to be ready. And I think you're ready. You've been in this long enough. You're ready to answer. Amen. And thank God that we can trust the Lord to do the work of his power and his strength. And you know an answer that God wants to give you? You know an answer that God is ready to provide? Is your question, who should I teach a Bible study to? When can I teach a Bible study? Where should I teach a Bible study? How should I teach a Bible study? God has answers for that. Praise God. And we need to step forth and believe that God's going to provide. Amen. Let's thank him that he gave us answers. Praise God. Oh, Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We glorify.